Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. Tonight, we're continuing with our this week and last week, we had all film folk on, and filmmakers and actors and whatnot, and it's been very exciting around here. I like it. I like it. That'll continue this week, and then next week, we're going to mix it up a little bit with some bands and whatnot as well. So very, very cool stuff. My guest tonight, because, you know, we don't mess around here. we've got the heads of the two heads of a studio on with us tonight. How cool is this? We've got Mr. Gregory P. Woke and Ruben Estramera from they're the founders of Giant Meteor Films. Gentlemen, how are you tonight?
Hi. Hi. We're doing well. Doing great. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Thanks. Hi, everyone.
I have to ask. Now, you guys are – I'm doing fantastic. It's I live in – we're down in South Florida, and finally – and I don't know if it's just my imagination or if – I know in the evenings. It's cooler in the evenings now. I think fall is finally breaking down here as much as it does. It'll be soon. We'll be able to turn off the air and open the windows. An amazing time of year.
Sounds like you're getting some of our weather.
Yeah, it sounds maybe. You guys are in Chicago, so is it full on fall up there?
Yeah, it is. It's been like today it was in the 40s, went up to 50
wow.
for about a minute, and went back down to the 30s, I think. But it's not bad.
It's
been out. It's been a great day. Yeah.
I grew up in Metro Detroit, and whenever anybody wanted to go on a cool like weekend, Chicago was the place to be. You know, we boat up as many people as we could fit in a little car and hit old 94 and, you know, drive for 6 or 7 hours. But it was always so much cooler than Detroit. Very envious of you guys.
Long drive.
In Chicago.
Yeah, it seems to be the cool place for the entire Midwest. I mean, not many people were growing up there. I'm from St. Louis originally, and Ruben's a Chicagoan, but it just, you know, there's not much going on in a lot of other Midwest cities. It's getting better now, but back in the 80s and so forth, there was, you know, recessions and so forth, so a lot of companies left.
Yeah.
And but I'm glad it worked out for the best. I love Chicago.
Oh, absolutely. And it's just fantastic. If you are an architecture fan, ladies and gentlemen, and you have a chance to visit Chicago, that's the place to be, especially if you dig Art Deco. Man, the buildings and reliefs on them just blow you away. I could walk around.
Oh, yeah.
I got a kink in my neck every time I go to Chicago just looking up at the buildings. it's amazing.
You know, and I'll tell you, the city is just growing and growing. It's getting bigger every time.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Fantastic. My worst experience in Chicago, this was years ago. I was a young buck wolfing around and whatnot, and I was traveling across the country via Greyhound bus. And we went to the Chicago bus station, and apparently the biggest snowstorm in the history of mankind or something like that swept through and closed all the roads. So we had to wait at the bus station until they got it cleared, which was 3 days later.
Wow, what an experience.
I'm telling you. Very interesting. I felt bad. There were some soldiers there, and because I don't know if they still do it this way. Back in the day, if they would wear their uniform, they could ride half fare on the bus. And but they had to get back to their base and stuff, and nobody was going anywhere. So, I don't know how that ended for them. Hopefully well.
Yeah.
So you guys are
Chicago's known for those winter wonderlands.
Oh, I'm telling you, it was cold too. So you guys are in Chicago. How'd you guys team up? How'd you meet? How did all of this Giant Meteor Films come together? What's the story?
Well, we've been friends. We've known each other for, three decades now, and, had a lot of different interests, varying interests, always been film lovers. And then I started, realizing my my dream of, or my goal of writing. I finally, stopped being afraid of failure and said, I'm just going to start writing and see if I can really do it. I've been talking about it for years, talking, you know how that is. And, eventually I did, and I found out that I was good at it. I loved it. And, I think you're just good at, you're always better at things that you enjoy doing, I firmly believe. And then I wrote, a dozen or so novels, just put them on Amazon. And then, we started thinking, hey, why don't we just start making some of these into films? And that's what we decided to do about 5 years ago. We got some money together and neither one of us went to film school. So we learned through trial and error.
Sometimes that's better. I remember years ago when I got out of college, I moved out to California, not with any big aspirations. I had my art degree and I figured I'd go out there and paint, and I went out there and wound up buying and selling a lot of real estate. And, but I made some amazing deals because I didn't know any better. I didn't know you weren't supposed to be able to, offer somebody $100 for a property. And, you just never know until you try. So sometimes not having a bunch of background can work in your favor. Sometimes not so much.
But it's working.
You guys own a studio. How cool is that? I mean, that's got to be cool to have on your business cards, I'm very envious, very inspired.
Oh, well, thanks. Yeah. We I don't know about Ruben, but I don't really have much of an ego. So, we're just doing what we're doing, and I don't. And Mama taught me not to brag about anything, and of course that's not what Trump says. He says you're supposed to brag, and you're supposed to have people without egos are losers. That's one of his quotes. But that's just how I am, and I think Ruben's kind of similar too.
Yeah. I just kind of go with the flow and just supported the whole idea of making this happen and seeing, how Greg's creativity was showing through, and getting a lot of responses, and, he pursued it, and, it's taken us where we're at now, with 4 movies on a platform, and just liking the buzz, just liking the feedback. I mean, a lot of it's good and some of it is bad, but, can't satisfy everyone, and it's a nice mixture.
Absolutely. If you're not upsetting some people, that means you're not really pushing your art to the bound, to the limits.
So we're seeing a lot of that.
It's funny because most recent. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No. Finish your thought, please.
Oh, okay. All right. The most recent film we did, which is about presidency a little bit, President Evil, a comedy, and I actually reached out to Jim Carrey's. A manager to see if they would let me put some of his paintings into the different location. They said no, obviously, but that would have been cool because his paintings would have been very fitting for the theme of the film and just seeing them wherever the characters are. But then I didn't know that how much of an artist you are. I would have reached out to you about that.
We just learned about how talented you are in your art and a painting and how successful. Oh.
This makes my day because I know you guys don't sit around on your laurels. There'll be more film stickers to come, and keep my number. I'll be sending you a little package. Very, very good. Very cool. Well, it's interesting. I had Francesca Zapatelli, I believe that's how you pronounce her name. I had her on the show a year ago. She had a film she had done called Ballerina I'm Not. And she was promoting it, and we had her on the show. And then a couple, it must have been about a week ago, maybe not even that long, a few days ago, she made a post. She's on my Facebook feed there, and she made a post about this Halloween parody, political satire film. And I try to stay away from the politics much as I can, just because I'm trying to keep, you know, my hair intact without pulling it out. But I said, man, if Francesca's involved in this, I gotta check it out, you know. And so I watched the trailer, and it was hilarious. And then it came through the pipeline to have you guys on the show, and I said, I gotta have them on the show, man. This is fantastic.
That's great. Yeah, it's not, you know, people are going to think by the name that it's slamming, you know who, but it's really, I mean, it's not him. It's just somebody with a mask of him. And, you know, President Evil, I mean, it could have been any president. The current president happens to be, you know, who. And but we have some scenes in the past where it's in the 80s, and it's somebody wearing the Ronald Reagan mask. So it's about a president. Right. Presidents, you know, throughout history have not always been the best in either party, at least in my view. But anyway.
Well, he kind of sets himself up for it, you know. And having a presidential mask, I can't remember the name of it. I've seen it, like a heist film, where the guys are robbing a bank and they've all got like president masks. I remember the Richard Nixon. Somebody had a Richard Nixon mask on. I've seen it.
That's right. Right.
That's right.
So I mean,
yeah, and in this movie of ours, it's, you know, it's a POTUS occult follower, you know, that just takes it into his hands to go around and terrorize minorities. And that's a little bit of premise of our movie. Yeah,
that's
a good message
as
well too. Yeah, and he's just carrying out the good word of his leader, and that's what the person thinks. You know, people get, can take a message, and people can take a message from the Bible, from Jesus, or whatever, and twist it and do it whatever they want. So it's not really far fetched. I mean, it happens, you know, in everything. Although, you know, some people have said they thought it seemed kind of played like a piece of nonfiction, which I think, okay, I won't go there, but
well, you know, it is, I'm not a spring chicken or anything. I've been around a bit. I've never seen the country. And the interesting thing, I'll tell you guys an interesting story. It happened right after the election. I mean, me and my girl, Danny, were walking around our house, and I've said this before, right? I hold no punches on this. The night of the election, really for about a week afterwards, we were walking around like a couple bees in a hive whose queen had, kicked the bucket. We didn't know what to do. We didn't know what to think. And we just bought our first house. So moving to Norway was out. We went to a dinner party, a cocktail party, actually, about a week after that. And a lady said to me, she said, well, Jamie, your work's going to be even, you know, your life's going to get a lot harder now. And I said, well, I don't know. You know, the big joke is my girlfriend has a German last. I said, we'll get married and I'll just take her last name, dye my hair blonde. I'll be all right. And she goes, no, artistically. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, well, an artist's job is to either illuminate the public to something that's going on or to take their mind off of it. And you're going to be real busy doing whichever direction you go. And I thought about that when I was watching you guys' trailer. You know, here you are taking kind of a very strange and surreal and scary situation, frankly. A situation that we live in right now in the country that no one is used to. No one has experienced this before.
Right.
And, very unsettling.
Exactly.
And
yeah, we are in really really tough times in our country here. A lot of divisiveness, and you know, when we were making this film, we had it on our mind to kind of get a message out there, you know, of what we see that is happening in this country, and the message is to vote to make a change to. You know, this is the craziest thing that anyone has seen, you know, and we just can't accept it.
So exactly.
We're hoping to make a change, and we're hoping that our movie and our video, music video that we also have out that was filmed in Chicago a couple of weeks back, has a message for the people that want a better change.
Yeah, but even with that, you know, undertone, it has to entertain, and I want it to be entertainment, which I think it is. It's funny, and people have seen it, said, well, doesn't really, you know, it makes fun. There's a Hillary character, there's a Bill Clinton character, there's Giuliani character, there's all these political figures that are parodied in there on all different sides. I hate using that term, on both sides, but it's mocking everyone, because I don't think no one is really without
virginal
sin.
Life,
and
right,
if they're a politician, they by the definition. But this guy, if he were just a nice guy that treated people with respect, I could almost live with some of his policies. But what riles me the most is just how he treats people. I don't like bullies. I never have. And that's really what upsets me about him. Not so much that he doesn't want this or that. Just be nice to people. Don't call them names. My God, you're the president of the United States. So that's really,
exactly.
Yeah.
And don't incite stuff. I agree completely. And that's the biggest issue I have too, as well, is just a real lack of tact and class. It's a very surreal situation we find ourselves.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Are you prepared to navigate today's bond markets for your clients? With decades of experience, MFS has helped advisors uncover fixed income investment opportunities through volatile markets. Learn more at MFS.com.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beatty, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Ruxgear, the online webshop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierux.us.
Hey folks, located in the hills of Tennessee, L'Apothecary Unique offers all natural, organic, gluten-free skincare, hair care products, perfumed oils, medicinal salves, makeup, incense, and aromatherapy items, bath salts, and even much more, including something special for the fellows, like beard and mustache balm, astringent, and aftershave. Each item is made to order just for you. So check out LapothecaryUnique.com, spelled LapothecaryUnique. LapothecaryUnique.com.
I never thought I would see it. I mean, a lot of people have said that, but We can all say that, but we have to do, you're absolutely right, we have to do something about it to change it. You know, you can't sit on it and buy. Well, it was interesting. Were you guys concerned at all? Even though this is an entertainment piece, an entertainment film and whatnot, and a parody and a comedy and whatnot, were you concerned from the premise when you first wrote it? You wrote it, right, Gregory?
Yes, myself and another co-writer, Richard Lowry. So the two of us got the story and the script together, and we kind of wrote it. The first time I've ever written with someone else, it's interesting. It's definitely a lot more challenging. But yes, we worked together.
Wow, that's fantastic. So, yeah. What do you think, Ruben?
Oh, so
when they brought you this idea, what are you like?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Well, you know, I mean, it had some great elements in it, and you know, it's a parody off the Halloween franchise, so
right.
it was going somewhere. Yeah, I did feel at first like, you know, there's a lot of people that are not going to like this. There's a lot of people that are going to like it, and so it's not that we're trying to put something out there where there's hate. There's no hate in this. Just showing. It's just a parody. It's just showing the things that could happen with some crazed killer, you know. And in our times, we are seeing a lot of crazy things going on. So yeah, there was some kind of worry behind it, a little worry behind it, because you know you just never know how people are going to react. But we weren't going to let that stop us from trying to put something out there, you know, that we felt that. Was going to be something for people to watch, you know. So, I mean, we are getting a little bit of like how people are reacting towards our teaser and our video, musical video. There are a bunch of haters that are attacking us daily, you know. But you know, let it happen. It's just you can't have everybody like something. So you know, bring it on. You know, you got people that. Are saying bad things, and you got people that are saying the good things. And
absolutely.
And just kind of, you know, we can really see how they are now, you know, in our social media towards us. And there's some hate. But you know, we're artists, and we want to create. And so we want to put it out there, and it's kind of weird because it's not like we're sending a negative message, you know. It's just showing that someone could be crazed and someone could attack people because of their beliefs or who they are or what they look like.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're sort of addressing a little bit of those issues too, where we want to let people know that we are all different, but we are all part of this country. And this is what makes America great.
Absolutely. Now, to shift gears a little bit, were you guys concerned at all about apocalyptic mutants being upset with a film you released a little earlier this year? Of course, I'm kind of joking here. Apocalypse Rising. totally different vein. Sounds amazing. I haven't watched this one yet, but I plan on it. Tell me about this one.
Well, yeah, part of our credo is to make films that are different and unique. I know a lot of filmmakers say that, but I really wanted to, we got tired of seeing the same thing over and over and over. So this one, it did actually get a fair amount of, people loved it. I mean, 90% of the people loved it. It's such a fun film. But there is a theme, well, there's a plot line throughout it that Jesus, you know, the one on the cross, he's actually a character that appears in real time throughout the film.
Oh, wow.
And during the zombie apocalypse. And some people have said, are you trying to say that he was the first zombie, the original zombie? Because he did... rise from the dead. So some people, a lot of Christians especially, wrote and said, you're going to burn in hell for this. And so as you can see, we're not immune from suggesting things that are kind of just floating ideas that, hey, maybe that means this. And we're not saying it. You don't have to believe it, but they're just fun because they get you thinking, you know. And I don't know. That's what drives me.
And, you know, like this movie, it kind of like crossed genres a little bit. It didn't really fall into like one category. It has horror, but it has sci-fi in it, and it has Jesus Christ in it.
A lot of comedy, a lot of sex and violence too.
Right.
You know, all the things that make a movie.
Nice.
Everything's just wrapped up in one. So it's really hard to put it in one label. But we were able to, you know, being an indie film, able to put it in that category and just kind of have it open. So it has a little bit for everyone to watch.
And that's the whole point of making indie films is that you can do things that when you finally become part of a big studio where you can't do so many things, you know, you can't piss off anybody. This is a time where we can stretch our you know, wings and try to do some things that might people are going to say, what the hell? Did I just see a zombie grow a gigantic zombie penis? You sure did.
Nice. Fantastic. Oh, man, that's awesome. That is awesome. And it's cool that you guys were embracing this period of creativity, too. Now, before Apocalypse Rising, and folks, I want to let everybody know, on our show page, on our Flash Player, we have all the posters for all these various movies and whatnot. And on those pages, we have how you can watch these. These are all out and on different platforms and whatnot. I think they're all on Amazon, I believe. And iTunes, definitely on iTunes. But we have lists and whatnot. And if you, even when we convert the show to a podcast, those links follow the show. So if you're listening to this in the future, you know, thank you. And like on Apple Podcasts or something. But just click on the link and it'll get you right there to where you need to be. Very, very cool. Now, before the Apocalypse Rising, with the giant zombie penis and zombie Jesus in it, you guys just took on a dark comedy theme with A Lesson in Cruelty. I was reading about this one, and it fascinated me because we've all met that person. We've all had that fantasy, or at least I have. Maybe that says something about me. I don't know. you just meet a jerk and, like, you know, it's, and you're like, oh, man.
They're out there. Yeah, they're definitely there.
Absolutely. I have a theory that at least three people out of every 100 are kind of just jerks. You know, no matter who you
that's
pick.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah, probably more.
Counting, but yeah.
Now,
yeah, that's
how did,
kind
you
of
got,
drove it.
How did
yeah.
this one come about?
Well, I think it part of it was also about our current POTUS, that was just when he became the candidate is when I wrote the film. And then it was also with not just with him, but with every boss I've ever had that was kind of a jerk.
Right.
It's sort of the encapsulation of all of that. But, the thing is, just being a jerk is one thing, but when you're saying stuff and doing things that maybe are the truth, but people don't want to hear it. So it's kind of like you don't always – some people saw it and they actually sided with him, and others once sided with the other people. And that was my whole intent is to say, well, sometimes you just don't want to hear the truth about what your actions are causing. And this guy never hesitated, was never asked, but always would give his opinion about, you know – let that be a lesson to you. If you didn't do this, then this wouldn't have happened. So this people
right.
don't like to hear the truth sometimes. So I hate to say it's all complicated and deep and all this. It's not. It's just a fun film to watch. But when I was first thinking of it, I had all these, you know, writers have all these themes floating through their heads, and you want to put all this complicated stuff in there. Eventually you said, no one's going to get that. Just make it fun. But anyway, that's what drove it.
Yeah.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime. And treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Hey guys, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, last year I was on holiday with my girlfriend Danny. We were at Disney World and having a great time. It's the happiest place on earth. And I dropped my vape, just like a Butterfingers, and it was a pain in the neck. They just don't have anything there to replace it and whatnot. So we had to drive 45 minutes each way to get a new one. And, you know, that's an hour and a half out of our day, man. But anyway, that wouldn't have happened because if I would have had this fantastic new product, the C-Ring. It's very, very cool. What it is it attaches to your vape, designed to protect your investment with comfort, flexibility while doing your day-to-day activity. What it does is it goes in there, you put your finger in there, and you hold it, and you're not dropping your vape, breaking it and whatnot. It's very, very cool, and if you need both hands, they have a lanyard you can hook to, and it's awesome. It's awesome. The C-Ring, you can find out more about it and pick one up at their website, www.thecring.com. Again, that's www.thecring.com. Be smart, be like me, get a C-Ring if you're a vapor. Very, very good. Oh, and hey, holidays are coming up, man. This is a very cool gift for somebody. If you have somebody on your shopping list that vapes like I do, get them a C-Ring. Thecring.com. Well, it's fantastic. I think the world, the shift that happened, the paradigm shift that happened, it almost emboldened certain people. People I know that I've known for years, and it's like, and I felt kind of foolish when they're kind of this nasty side showed itself. I'm like, man, was this always like under the surface? And how did I miss that this person was such a creep? my radar must be off.
Yeah, you can say that again. I mean, I think everyone's going through that. I don't know if the other side, if Republicans went through this with Obama. I know they weren't happy he was elected, but he was never there bashing them. So I try to see why. Did they feel the same way then that we do now? I don't see it as being similar, actually.
Yeah, there's no comparison, really. It's, like Jamie, like you mentioned, these are really different times, and it's tough times, really. We've never seen this before. With our previous president, it was not even close.
Yeah, I just don't know whether you are one of the people he bashes or not. We all know people. You know, we all know handicapped people or transgender or gay or black or Mexican, whatever.
Right.
And when he's making fun of those groups of people and women, especially, we just saw in this Kavanaugh debacle, you know, it angers me for these other people because I see them and I know how hurt they are. And that, you know, it's just, it's hard to believe that we're there. I mean, he's supposed to be the president for all of us, not just his base.
Oh, absolutely. Well, the thing that blew me away this year, I guess a year and a half now, almost going on 2 years, really close to 2 years, this whole thing, like I said, I grew up in Metro Detroit, and, you know, blue-collar town, and everybody I knew growing up, every family I knew, somebody worked in the factory, and that was just the way of life, and everybody knew early on that the guys in the front with the top real fast wearing the suits were not the friend of the workers on the factory floor. Never were. They never had their best intentions. And I saw all these people that I went to high school with and stuff via social media when all this happened. They all seem to have forgotten those lessons, you know, and suddenly unions are the enemy and all of this kind of stuff. And it was very, now again, I left 25 years ago and I haven't been in that world. Apparently a lot of things changed after I left. But I was very surprised at that. The blue collar set would embrace, you know, a fast talking New York guy who's just being an ass, you know. And the movie, The Lesson in Cruelty, this guy, your character, you, like you were saying, like some people resonated with him, you know, in your audience and whatnot. It blows me away that that, mm-hmm. that would happen. And maybe yeah, I'm naive. I like to think people life. Are basically good. I'm sorry,
yeah.
Go ahead.
It's almost like in real life he's the real asshole, right? Watch your
right. Right. That's why he gets paid the big bucks, right? That's, you know, he's a thespian. He's an artiste.
Yeah.
Now, before the dark
right,
comedy,
listening...
well, you know, there are actors, they get certain typecast.
Yeah.
Man, there was just one the other day. I do a little update in the morning where I post pictures, paintings I painted of people and celebrity birthdays and whatnot. And there was one actor, I forget his name, and he always plays such a good villain. And when he came up on the list, I said, oh, man, I like him as a bad guy in everything I've seen him. But maybe he'd play a good guy. I don't know. Now, the movie before that was Gene. Now, this was a feature, a family feature film.
That was definitely different, a little different than these other ones. It kind of started out to be dark. We filmed, there's another movie in here actually in all the footage. We went through, the Jean is the girl and it's a family film. And she has a lot of hopes and dreams, but she's kind of stuck taking care of her aging grandparents. And one of them gets lost in the desert and she has to go find them. And then there's a lot of nature and a lot of animals she encounters. It's kind of, I thought of it like The Revenant, and the girl was kind of Leonardo DiCaprio. And, but then a lot of darker things happen too in my script, and I tend to always gravitate towards darkness. I don't know why. But we filmed it all, and when we put it all together, it just was like family film, dark film, family film, dark film. And so in the editing room, we took out some of the darkness and said, we better just keep this a family film. So actually on the cutting room floor and on the footage, there's an entire another film that is Gene in Shadows.
Nice.
That'd be a good title.
You know, ladies and gentlemen,
Dark Shadow.
That the that cut is on a shelf in Gregory's study. And one day it'll be released out to the public. A copy will get out. It'll be a big underground
right
back.
Right.
Nice.
More to come.
Nice.
Yeah. But I'm not saying that I don't like family. I mean, I love family films. And, sometimes at night we'll put on Hallmark and just, there's the right time for it where you just want to feel uplifted and happy and, all that. And there's a time for each of these, So I'm not putting it down by any measure. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Go ahead, Ruben.
Oh no! I was just thinking out loud. I guess I'm more of a horror fan, so it's. I can watch a family film, but I gotta watch my horror right after that or before that.
But they gotta be turning
yeah.
everybody into vampires or something, man.
Exactly. demons or zombies or something.
Yeah.
I want to see fangs.
I'm telling you, my girlfriend and I, we, it's so crazy. And you guys are in the business, and you guys deal with this probably on a daily basis. There's a million streaming platforms out now, which is great because they all need content. That's great for distribution and whatnot. For us normal folk out here, the audience, that means that there's new stuff coming out all the time, and that's fantastic. But I'll see something that, they just released season 3 of The Man in the High Castle on Amazon. My first thought was, I don't have the time, man. Where am I going to find the time to watch a 14-hour movie? Because I get sucked into them, and I got to sit there and watch the entire season in 2 days. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Drink a lot of coffee.
Stay up. I'm telling you,
Me and Mike, and we miss a lot of stuff. And we come to stuff, we'll start watching stuff that everybody else has already watched, and it's you know, they're way beyond it. We started watching, I don't know, about a couple weeks ago, the American Horror Story. And I loved the Freak Show season, or I don't know what season it was, but she had it on. And I thought that was great. And then it went to the next season, she went to a couple seasons after that, and it was set in Michigan. And I thought, oh, well, this will be neat. I watched about, I don't know, an episode and a half. And I said, nope, this isn't for me. I can't. too many bloody clowns. No thanks. I want to sleep tonight. But, you know, it's
sometimes
I hear you, Ruben.
Shows like that, I don't have a tolerance anymore to watch like seasons, like series like that. I was really hooked on The Walking Dead to about seven seasons or six seasons. And then I just stopped watching it because it's just kind of like, you know, similar premise the next season where it just kind of, it seemed like it wasn't adding too much for me anymore.
Right.
And so I have a hard time watching like episodes like that show. I'd rather watch, I'm a movie guy. I'd rather watch an entire movie versus just watching a show.
Yeah, they have a beginning and an end with each, instead of the series. It seems like, and I went through that with Lost, and I was so upset at the last season. I've actually never watched another series since then. I was traumatized. I was angry at all the thousands of questions they lobbed out and they didn't answer, you know, but maybe a handful that people cheated. So I'm never going to go through that again, you know.
Right. What
was
the
long season.
Oh, there was the I can't even think of the name of it right now. It messed me up. So the Mafia one where it just went to black. I don't want to give anything away if anybody hasn't. Well, you know what? It's been out 10 years or something. I can't remember.
Sopranos? The Sopranos,
pardon me?
Or something else?
Yeah, Sopranos. Yes. I was traumatized by the Sopranos ending. I was like, no. Are you kidding me? I've invested so much time.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. It's a relationship. It's a relationship, and if it ends badly, we're affected the rest of our lives. I mean, I hate to overplay it, but these things do stay with us because we invest a lot of our energy and our creative mind into it, and we get to know the people. But it is what it is, and they're all great shows, and no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's more about the storyline. Don't milk it. Don't keep turning it into a soap opera. Just move it along and go on to the next plot and go on to something new. Don't just keep doing, change the location and do the same thing over and over and over. That really angers me. Of course,
Absolutely.
That's what TV is all about. I mean, you get a winning formula, you got to reproduce, keep producing it. So I'm sure if I did a TV show, I'd be pressured to do the same thing. So I'm not putting people down at all. The fact that they can find something to keep it somewhat fresh is really a miracle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or,
it's a great job.
Just,
it's a great job for those that are in it.
Absolutely. Or if you're doing a TV show, just have a new audience. Like, I'll give you a good example. Sesame Street. What have they been on? 50 years now or something, you know?
Right.
That's
an
amazing run.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That's interesting because I just saw some today in Facebook that a Big Bird. Yeah. The character or the person that played Big Bird, he retired today.
Oh, really?
After 50 years playing Big Bird.
Wow. Well, it's been a run. You know, that's, there you go.
Been a long
I don't know, playing, doing something for 50 years. Yeah, I'd want to change too. He, let's wish him the best.
Right. Especially stuff like a Big Bird, right?
For 50, hey man, it's he probably had a swimming pool from that costume. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Hi, my name's Ken, and I own Good Start Packaging in Bedford, New Hampshire. With my Spark Cash Card from Capital One, I earn unlimited 2% cash back on all my business purchases. And last year, that added up to $36,000 in cash back. That's right, $36,000. Thanks to that, I was able to offer healthcare to my employees. The Spark Cash Card did a lot for my business. Imagine what it could do for yours. What's in your wallet?
Real Capital One customers pay for real stories. Credit approval required.
Metal Babe Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's R-O-X-X, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com. Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi, folks. Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and, of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool, and these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion. MichelleAlbion.com. Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
Now, let me ask you, speaking of money and stuff, we're talking about independent films, and you guys have, you know, have four films out this year. That's an amazing accomplishment. The vast majority of independent films don't even get made, or if they get made, they don't even see distribution. You know, I mean, I'm not in that business, but my friends and stuff that are, I know it's a tough gig sometimes. Do you guys like crowdfund and stuff? How do you get all this together for all these types of movies?
No, we haven't done any crowdfunding, but it's been our own money plus some select people that we know that we asked if they wanted to. No hard sell. I don't want anyone to use their retirement money or whatever. It's like, if it's money you think you might lose, because every film to me is like a venture capital, a startup firm. Mm-hmm. It's either going to be worth nothing when it's done, or it's going to be worth something. It's not really in between. It's either going to work or it isn't. So, it's definitely really, really hard. Because like you said, that there's so many choices out there now. And then, you know, there's so much content all over the place. To get noticed is really the hardest part, I think. You know, I'm proud of all our films. I think the people involved in them did a great job. And, but, you know, you can't get people to sit down for a moment. You know, we're all impatient, you know, moving on,
right
here, there.
The big thing is you guys have a fantastic name for your company and a cool logo.
Yeah.
Whenever
I think
hear the
it
word
is.
Giant meteor, I take note. You know.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It's like the end of the world, huh? The giant meteor is going to hit the earth.
A lot of people ask, well, what does it mean? And I thought it was kind of self-evident, but, it's probably that dark side of me thinking, you know, like that, what was that Burt Bacharach song or whatever, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. And I was like, continue that, or if not, then we need a giant meteor to end humanity. I mean, one or the other. Either we need to, you know, we need to do a better job as humans, or it's time for the roaches, you know.
It's not so far fetched, you know, because I was watching the news the other day and heard that and this is just recent. This Earth has a good 11 years left if we don't do anything about it now.
The climate change.
Oh yeah,
it's really affecting this planet.
That's all it takes is you have to. You know, I was watching. I love watching. In addition to watching all these crazy movies and stuff, I'm a sucker for these documentaries and nature shows and stuff. Sometimes I just like to watch that.
Yeah.
And I was watching one, and they were like, you know, all it takes is you got to knock out this. And they, I can't remember what it was. It was the main type of bacteria that's in the ocean. And they said, this is where the food chain starts, right here. If it goes, it's just a domino.
So like the plankton? Is that what you're talking about, the plankton?
It was a plankton.
If it kills that, then, yeah, everybody's going to die up the food chain.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, it's just, it's crazy. It's crazy. I'm surprised more people aren't, you know, I guess because it doesn't affect them yet, you know, but I'm like, what do you need? You know, we're having giant wildfires, crazy hurricane, you know, crazy weather.
Yeah.
It's affecting you.
I know.
Take note.
Yeah, it's true. It's hard to get people to pay attention. They can't see it out their door, but I love the Earth, and I just, you know, I hate to see it, you know, be the, you know, just be destroyed like it is, you know, by us, you know, so.
Absolutely. Well, the only place we can go that's off of it right now is the space station, and I think it holds about 6 people. So, you know, we better start figuring something out.
It's going to be recycle and all that. We want to breathe good air. You know, we don't want to breathe all those emissions that seems to be loosely, you know, just happening, you know, and the people that's supposed to care for our country don't care.
Unfortunately, this, you know, the almighty dollar is behind so much of this. So if we can ever be like that episode of Star Trek where somebody said, well, don't you have money? And what's his name? Picard said, oh no, a long time ago, we no longer have a need for money. Everyone can just pursue whatever beliefs and, it's like, oh, that would be so great that we wouldn't have money. And because it seems like that's what drives so many bad decisions in this world, whether it's, polluting, killing, or, you know, anything. But anyway, that's fiction.
Well, you know, maybe we're just getting a taste and we won't like it and things will change. One can hope. I have to ask you guys. Now, I know. In the movie business, we're promoting these 4 movies right now, but sometimes you can't talk about upcoming projects, but I have to ask anyway. Are you guys working on some new material as well currently that you can talk about, or do we have to wait and see?
Well, we're in pre-production on one. It's going to be horror. I mean, that's Ruben has made that his stipulation. So, I've reached out to people trying to build a team. Yeah. And I have the body of the script. I have the storyline, you know, storyboarded and all that. But I know who I want to cast in the lead roles, all that stuff mentally. So I'm hoping for a January filming for that and to be out by next Halloween. So that's sort of what we have in mind at the moment. We want it to be different, and there's so many horror films out there, and I'm trying to take a different angle, whether it works or not. And besides, we have like 15 other scripts that are on our desk that of our own and some other people's, So it depends a lot on the budget and how these other films do, because it helps you think, well, this is what the audience is really gravitating towards. So we have to be smart too. You know, if we want to keep making movies, to make sure that, you know, we're making money too. We're not just doing stuff just to make a statement. So that only lasts so long.
I hear you. Believe me, I paint a lot of kids and dogs, you know, which I love doing. But you know, how many times can you do that? I shouldn't say that. That's my favorite thing in the world to do. If you want your dog painted, on, gladly paint them, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you guys. Now, owning a film production, a filmmaking business, a studio, do you guys get inundated? Everybody probably wants to be your friend, huh? Everybody with a script, I would imagine. Do you guys get sent a lot of scripts?
Well, yes. But I just figured it's because they all like us. No, that's why.
I'm wrong. I didn't mean to insinuate anything else. I apologize.
And I used to do the same thing. I used to send scripts to a lot of people, and that was part of what drove us to just try this ourselves, because you get nowhere. I mean, yeah, you hear about one lucky guy that did get through, but that's, you know, one in a million.
Right.
And it's just, I don't know where I was going with that, but we do get a lot of scripts and people writing out from all different cast and crew. Some, you know, I do look at them. Shorter the better, as far as when people reaching out. We get some of these where there's like a 3-page story of a life and why I should hire you. It's like, that's, people realize the value of other people's time, I think is an important lesson for all of us. If you keep it short and to the point, I think that's always better. I had to learn that the hard way too.
Well, that is a lesson that I think we all, anyone who's successful has to learn, you know. It's, it took me a while. I was always, I tell you, in my younger days, I was always on the hunt for investors. That was my thing. And it, incidentally, it was one of the things that I hated about traditional business that I was always looking for. It's crazy. How cool is this? It's so cool. I'm so glad to have met you guys. It's just so inspiring talking to people that are doing something. And not only are you guys doing like one project, you've done four this year. Blows me away. These are feature films, man. That's a lot of work.
That's a lot of work.
It was a lot of determination and just to keep going and pursuing it, being optimistic and try to not give up and keep believing in what you're trying to create.
Yeah, because it would have been a lot easier to walk away from these things. Although I wouldn't have been able to live with myself. I'm the kind of person that likes to follow through and finish. But there were very many forces that were, getting put up in our way.
Obstacles,
yes. That, a lot of sleepless nights, crying yourself to sleep. It's like, why is someone trying to prevent us from finishing this? And, sometimes people don't like to see other people succeed. That's probably the part of this industry that saddens me the most. But I'm not going to look
just
at that.
Bitter people. Yeah. If I can't make it, nobody can. That's a poor attitude. That's just a terrible attitude to have.
That's true. And they're in every walk of life. So, just ignore that.
Well, we're really excited about your artwork. We've been looking more and more. So, if there's an opportunity, I definitely will reach out to you to see if we can maybe use some of that in our film.
Absolutely.
Depending on how the our attorneys work out the contract and the rights and all that. No, I'm just hearing attorneys. I can't go a day without hearing the word attorney.
Yeah. I'm like, where are we going to go now?
That's the bad part of it.
I just can't wait to watch or see
the Beatles painting that you put together. I was reading about that, and I found it fascinating. Where it was picked up by a couple of museums. Back in the day. That's incredible.
His college was for art too, but he didn't keep going like you did.
Right.
He really respects that.
Yeah, I do very much. Yeah, it's a talent.
You know, it's just one of them things. You know, it's funny. You know, I was telling you guys, I was stuck in the bus station in Chicago there. I had a lot of time on my hands, so I broke out my easel right there in the bus. I had a blank canvas, and I painted a big Al Capone painting right there. And the Greyhound station manager bought it right on the spot. So I was like, hey,
awesome.
My trip to L.A. is paid for. I just got to wait 3 days.
Wow, that is so cool.
I'm like you guys, you know, you just take life as it comes and you make the best of it, and you just put your head down sometimes and muddle through, you know, and push through, you know, not necessarily muddle through, but do the best you can and you get good results. I have found if you do that, you know.
You want to, I wish everyone would do that. We've helped people helped us make these films. We couldn't have done it ourselves. But we've also, what makes us happiest is how we've helped other people to be in there. We've hired so many people that was in their first film or their first directing or their first time editing. I just think people need, it's almost like you can't get in it unless you've already been successful. That's sort of the how it is. So that's what makes us feel good, is just helping people kind of get a step in the right direction, and hopefully they'll help us too. It's all about collaboration and helping each other, and or at least it should be. So, it's a nice idea.
So we like to be optimistic about it. Yeah, and find those that are willing to, like Greg said, collaborate and reach for a goal, together.
Absolutely,
and make fun.
They say the tide rises all boats. So, I've found that to be true. I tell you another weird thing. I am not a very religious person or anything like that. I just wasn't really raised that way. I just never have been. But I do a lot of charity work. And one of the things, the weird things that I've found in doing that is it always tends to lead to bigger, like other opportunities. I'll be doing at a charity event, and I'll meet somebody there who is like, oh, well, yeah, we're doing this. Can we get you involved in that? Absolutely. Here's a check, Jake. I'll do a lot of things for a check. No problem.
That's great networking.
We're not religious either, but you're right. People that are helping with charities, they have a good heart. And whatever is driving them to do it, it probably doesn't matter whether they think they need to do it for the afterlife or they're just doing it for themselves. Either way, it means they're a good person. So, I think it's more power to that. We all should be more charitable. And my religion is just treat everyone else as you would yourself. And, that's one of the golden rules of the Bible. If everyone did that, by definition, there'd be no wars, there'd be no anything bad in the world. But, I guess it's not working out like that.
And when you find your work, I'll tell you, and that's just it. If you find what you're supposed to be doing in life, and I'm saying this for any of the listeners out there, maybe you know somebody, or maybe it's you, that you're struggling, you haven't found what it is you're supposed to be doing, whatever that is. Once you do, man, you get busy. You get way too busy for any nonsense. I don't have time to argue with people and fight with people. I'm too busy painting dogs and kids.
it's true. And that's the best thing too. Why spend the energy on arguing and all that stuff when you can spend your energy in painting or making something, creating something. That you want to do as a person.
Everyone should just go out and do what they want to do to make their life happy, the pursuit of happiness. But unfortunately, some people are, instead of just doing that, they're going around trying to stop other people from pursuing their happiness. So it's like, why does it even affect you? Just move over there and try to get your own happiness. That's what I want to tell these people. Forget about some, there's a Mexican, you know, on the other side of town that's, you know, trying to be happy, and you just want, you, that just angers you that that Mexican is happy. It doesn't make sense to me.
It's so true. Are poor people getting health insurance? Give me a break. You know, what did you do? Are you kidding me? What do you do? You know, and some of these people, they just wish, you know, I wonder if they go to a casino and just root for the casino. I'm like, what is wrong with you? You know? I don't know. You know, it's logic. And sometimes you're kicking water uphill with some of these people. You know, it's just you can't
rationalize
something logically. Yeah, you can't rationalize the logic to them. And you know, I hope that in their life, whatever it is that made them that way changes, and they can spend their time more productively. You know, people that you see people like trashing, you know, running people down online and stuff like, I'm like, man, you got way too much time on your hands. Buy a dog and a cat. I don't know.
Join a group or something.
Take up golf. Do something.
Right.
Get with it. Oh, make a movie. Open a movie studio.
Right.
No. Don't do that. Well, gentlemen, it's about that time, and I know I apologize. I said, we'll keep you on for a half hour, 40 minutes or something. Here it is, an hour. But you're fascinating to talk to. And, you know, I couldn't break away. But I've had so much fun tonight, and I can't, you know, I'm going to tell you about this, and you guys already know this. Just keep doing what you're doing. You guys are real good at it and very inspiring, and I can't wait to have you guys on again to talk about your next project, you know?
Thank you so much for having us.
I just realized we didn't mention the website, giantmeteorfilms.com. Ladies and gentlemen, get over there, and there's links where you can watch all these movies as well.
Can contact us if they want to, you know, write a short message about how they can contribute, you know, and be part of the films if they want to. Short message.
Yeah, and we're on social media.
We're on Instagram,
Facebook, Twitter.
Give us a holler, and we'll listen. Yeah, we're always trying to build a network of people, and hoping people do the same with us.
And gentlemen, when you watch these films on these streaming sites, this is something I've learned. I didn't know it. Again, I'm not in the movie business, so you have to forgive me. I've learned this stuff like you guys do, you know, listening to podcasts and whatnot. When you watch these films, it really helps when you leave reviews and comments and stuff. You know, it's feedback, man. People dig this, and it helps out the films and whatnot. Even if there's something you didn't like, you know, you can say something, but, of course, you know, if you dig something, let people know. And every one of these has a share button. Hit that share button, man, because chances are your friends are going to dig it too. If you like something, you know, that's why you're friends with them. Super important.
Yeah. This is how marketing is done nowadays, social media. So yeah, it's really important. Even the big Hollywood films tell people, you guys got to get your cast and crew out there reviewing the film online, all this kind of stuff. And I guess it's important to everyone. I mean, but, I think making, writing reviews and just try to, I guess being a filmmaker now, I don't want to say I think differently now about reviews, because I never was the type of person that would go bash someone or hate on some other movie, whatever. I always try to look at, what's good about it? What's different about it?
What did you think about it?
Oh yeah, they didn't succeed on every level. You know, they didn't. I guess they didn't have $100 million to spend on that movie, but it was something different on me. So that's what I try to do now. Whenever I review other people's films or anything else, but you know, that's just how it is in today's world. So, but that's a very
fantastic. And I hear one of you. I wanted to let you know, I wanted to say Ruben or Gregory has a dog. They're a dog fan. Just just like I
have. Yeah. We have dogs.
Nice. I am new to the whole dog world. I just got my dog a year ago, and I guess I'm almost like a new parent. Everywhere I go, I show pictures of her and stuff. I've become one of those types of people, you know.
Nice.
First dog. Yeah. Yes. I annoy people at parties. You know,
they're exciting. They are. Yeah, they make our life better.
Oh yeah, always, always. If you're having a good day, a dog will cheer you up, man. Doesn't matter. Very, very cool. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us tonight, folks. We are going to be this episode will be converted to a podcast and pushed out on all the various social media platforms, including up for free on Apple Podcasts. We're actually on about 70 different podcast sites. But if you are listening to the show on one of those sites or Apple Podcasts in the future, hello from the past, do me a quick favor, like we were talking about, it affects us too. Hit that ratings and review. It keeps us up at the top of the page over there at Apple. And boy, does that help me out when I'm talking to our advertiser. So I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
Keeps going. Yeah. It's fantastic.
Great. Well, thank you, Jamie. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, thank you so much. GiantMeteorFilms.com, everybody. Get over there. Check these films out. That's fantastic. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you. Okay, good night. Good night.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks' Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.